All right, everybody, let's get back to it. We've got another roughly 2.5 hours left. So, Councilman Lattiser, take it away when you're ready.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief, I don't, at least based upon what I'm seeing in numbers, that you're going to be able to come in under budget or even on budget with your overtime. But, you know, should that be the case, the fact of the matter is the new norm in overtime, even with a full complement that you've had for quite some time, is still in that 4.4, 4.5 million. And I remember when I first got on the council, we were talking 1.1 million, 1.2 million. So what is the driving force behind this dramatic increase in overtime over the last 7 or 8 years?
So the driving force behind the overtime is the minimum manning clauses in the CBA that we're required by contract to maintain minimum staffing levels, and we cannot drop below a certain number. The largest cost, the largest category, if you will, in overtime is filling in for vacation time.
Is what, please?
Vacation time.
Okay.
That's the largest number, if you will, that we have out of the different categories that comprise our overtime. And that largest number right now, year to date, is approximately 1.3 million. Of that, right now we're at 3.9.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go through all the numbers if you'd like, but there's various numbers in ranging from vacation time, training, light duty, which is not paying the person on light duty, it's covering them when they're on light duty, covering their shift. Military is also, let me backstep there for a second. I gave you some wrong information. Military is the largest cost for us, then vacation second. Military, so far to date, we're at 207. No, I'm sorry. 1.3, scratch that. It was right, 207. Right now we're at $207,000 for backfilling for people that are on military leave. Next year we're anticipating that number to be at 265.
How much has the Boston schedule increased the costs of the fire department?
It has not had an effect on it one way or another.
It has not.
I would say overall it's been pretty much similar to what it was before the Boston schedule.
Interesting. Chief, I had asked the deputy chief a while back when you came before us to increase your fuel budget. And part of the reason was because the cost of the fuel was going up. And I had asked at that time that the leadership, be the deputy chief or yourself, put in protocols as far as non-emergency use of those vehicles, all the vehicles. And now the cost of diesel fuel is even higher. So what changes have been made for non-emergency use of these vehicles that are probably getting, I don't know, I'm going to guess 1, 2, 3 miles per gallon?
So we have reduced the use of vehicles somewhat. We have not reduced the use of them for official matters such as training, building familiarization, company drills, things of that nature. And when we are out on the road performing those tasks, that is when we allow our people to tend to other things that they need to do, acquiring, you know, their lunch and things of that nature, patronizing a local coffee shop, things of that nature.
You were under the belief that that only takes place upon returning from a run, which is what I think was originally ruled with the Board of Public Safety years ago.
So, no, if a station's having a quiet day and they haven't had any runs and they need to get their lunch, then we allow them to go out and get their lunch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me rephrase this. Is there anyone in the department that is receiving a stipend of any type in their salary or included in their salary?
Nothing that wouldn't be contractual. Oh, I stand corrected. Myself and Chief Umenhauer receive a stipend for EMA. That comes out of the EMA budget.
You each get a stipend?
We do. What is
that stipend per year? And where does that show?
If it's in the EMA budget, we would be waiting until we get to that part before we can discuss it.
Sorry?
Am I understanding correctly that it's in the Warwick Emergency Management budget?
That's correct. That's in the EMA section.
So we have to wait till we get to that portion to discuss that.
All right.
Sorry.
Fair enough. That's fine. So on the electricity, excuse me. As of today, you've only used, I'm going to round up, $67,000 in electricity. I know this was spoken about a little earlier. Currently, which is about half of your budget in 10 months, 10 and a half months, and you still have available 65, rounded up to 66,000 in that electricity line item. But yet, you are looking to increase it. You're projecting out 188,500, which I have no idea how you're going to receive $120,000 worth of electric bills in 6 weeks. And then you're looking to increase your budget from 132 to 189. Why is that? And how is that based?
Councilman, this is Director Prodger talked about this earlier. In this year's budget, we still had those energy credits left. So we were projecting, we were unsure as to when all those credits would be used up in the fiscal year. So we projected the budget to, you know, be a little of a moving target as to when those energy credits expired and we were having to pay the full amount to run on energy. Next year, we're positive because we're out of energy credits. We would be moving from a reduced bill where we're not paying around energy, we're only paying from the credits. We're moving to a full payment of the electricity bill, which is projected to be about $189,000. So the number that you're seeing there, the payments that we've made so far this year are just due to the energy credits. We haven't actually paid around energy yet this year. And these utility bills are usually backed up a couple months. So if you're seeing March 31st, we probably haven't even been billed for March yet. So.
No, actually, the municipal report I have is as of today.
Yeah, but the bills themselves don't come out until after the month is over. Like you're just like your house, you don't get billed until the end of the month when they read your meter, and then the bill comes out to you. So it wouldn't be through March's utilities; it would be through February's utilities that would be paid.
So when are you going to get the March bill?
We typically get it in April.
In April,
right? And this is as of 3/31.
So, but there's no encumbrances in your electric line item as of today, which is May 18th. So it's far beyond April, and there's still no encumbrances.
Correct, but these aren't Rhode Island Energy's bills. These are the energy credits that we're paying.
Okay.
So these aren't dependent. We haven't got the bills from Rhode Island Energy yet once the credits ran out. So these are just the payments we're making to those the other company.
So whatever is left out of that $132,000 for this year's budget just goes back into the general fund, right?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is pretty much what my position was last year, not just on your electric and natural gas, it was on all departments.
They're just trying to be conservative because we're not absolutely sure what that number is going to be once those credits expire. Mm-hmm. Until we get a better feel for what that's going to be going forward, that's easier to project in the coming year.
And can you tell us what the reason is for the increase, almost double, well, not quite, of $60,000 in turnout gear?
That's solely for the recruit class. So this year we did not have, I spoke on this when we did the turnout gear bid. This year we did not put a class of recruits on. So the $5,000, about a little over $5,000 it costs to equip a recruit with turnout gear. Those were not in this year's budget because we didn't do a recruit class this year. Next year we're going to do a recruit class of 12. So you multiply the 12 by the
So in 2027, 2027 you're saying you're going to have another recruit class.
Correct. The plan is February to start them in February. They'll finish at the end of the fiscal year, probably July, first week of July of 2027.
So what are you anticipating for attrition?
So right now we have no floaters. We have one floater, but we have five vacancies. So if you really think about it, we are at our minimum manning of 212. So we don't have, we're basically right now, we're just about 12 people short in the department. No floaters and four vacancies, right?
But you're budgeting for 226.
That's a snapshot in time. So that, again, our numbers are moving targets. So that when I put the bid in, we had 226 employees, but two have retired in the month of April. So we're at 224 now.
You're at 224 now?
Correct.
Okay. And you
we're budgeting for 224.
I'm sorry?
We're budgeting for 224. That's 212 plus the 24 recruits. 212 plus the 12 recruits. But those are only going to be on from February. If you look at the personnel supplement.
Yeah, I'm looking at the personnel supplement.
You'll see the bottom line, 12 recruits. And that's only at $20 an hour for the amount of weeks that they're in the academy. Although they're listed as employees, they won't be actually on the payroll until February.
So those 12 recruits, they're still budgeted at $172,800.
Yeah, that's 12 recruits at $20 an hour for February through the end of June.
And that $172,800, that doesn't include any benefits or any of that?
No, the benefits aren't reflected in our budget.
It's what?
Benefits aren't reflected in our budget.
Okay. And you also have an additional person on the fire civilians. Talk to us about that.
No, we have three municipal employees in headquarters, and we've always had budgeted for 9 dispatchers. We've only ever carried 8. We just couldn't fill the extra position. Every time we'd fill that, we'd lose one, so we always kind of were 8. We're actually fully staffed at our 9 dispatchers right now.
Well, what I'm
for the first time in years.
I'm looking at 12 for this year.
Correct. Nine dispatchers.
Last year, it was 11.
Right. So we that one floater position, we haven't been able to fill appropriately over the last couple of years. This year, we actually have it filled. We have full 9 dispatchers and 3 civilian.
But whether it's filled or not, it's budgeted, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But kind of getting back to what you were saying before, those 12, we're short 12 right now. When the SAFER grant runs out, we're going to have 12 employees that will be released from the SAFER grant, and that will fill those positions and bring us back up to our staffing levels. So we didn't run a recruit class this year because we know those 12 employees from the SAFER grant would become available in August, where normally we would have a class of 12 coming in July. Next year, we're going to plan on losing up to 12 employees, so we plan on putting a recruit class on, and this is kind of the consistency that we've been going through the years. We lose 12, we put 12 on. But this year was different because we knew that we were going to lose those 12 SAFER employees and that we could move them from the SAFER grant into the ranks of the rank and file of the fire department without having to put a class on or fire anybody. And that's where the numbers come from.
That SAFER grant, do you get that reimbursed or awarded all at once in one lump sum?
Nope, it's $6.2 million over 3 years, and we're in that last bit of it. Actually, we extended that SAFER grant to August because we had extra money left in the grant. I applied for an extension to be able to use the rest of the money. It would have normally come up in March. We got it extended another 6 months into August so we can use every dime of the $6.2 million. And that's reimbursed quarterly. I request reimbursement quarterly on that.
And what happens at the end of those 3 years when that SAFER grant is expired? Because the SAFER grant, that only pays for the salary, right?
Nope. Salary, benefit, anything contractually obligated. Salary, benefits, FICA, payroll taxes, clothing allowance, anything that's either contractually obligated or payroll obligated, they cover.
Including turnout gear and helmets. Correct. And uniforms and badge, et cetera. It's
you
all
got it.
Part of that?
So that, yeah. You know, we don't have to part with it. We don't have an obligation after the SAFER grant expires to maintain those minimum staffing levels. So that's why, as the chief was alluding to earlier, our staffing is going to go from 51 down to 48 once the SAFER grant expires.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's all I have for right now. Thank you.
Councilman DeLuise.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have one question on training and education. The projected amount was 25,000. Are you requesting 80,000 for training and education for the 12 new recruits?
That's right. That's
$55,000. It's quite a bit.
It's accounting for those 12 new recruits. There'll be payment to the State Academy. And the other portion of that is for the education reimbursement that we're contractually obligated to through the contract.
Okay, thank you.
And the mic. Into the mic, please.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chief, just a couple of clarifying questions from the budget. There's a rent line of approximately $42,000. Just to confirm, is that the new rent for the fire station over near the old Ann and Hope?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. And when it comes to the positions, very similar to what we saw in the police department, there's been a lot of grade realignment, which also goes to the increases in salary. Is that correct? There's been a lot of grade, you know, fire grades, the different grades of the.
That's right. There's some members are receiving step increases that either increase or did not receive them before.
Yep. All right. And as far as the command staff, you and the rest, are you part of the raises? Are they part of your contract with the city? Or is that outside contracts?
We have no contracts. It's been the past practice that we receive whatever the rank and file receive.
Okay. All right. And give me one moment. Oh, one other item. And this may be somewhere else in the budget, Mr. President. Just let me know. We have maintenance in here and capital maintenance. As far as the fire stations themselves, and I know Councilman Lattice have brought this up, and he's right on not just the fire station, but a lot of our properties. When you're the maintenance and upkeep of these buildings, obviously it's cheaper to maintain. Is there a schedule? Is there a process? What do you do as one of the leaders of the fire departments? How do you make sure that not just your equipment is good, but your stations are also up to speed?
So we do not budget for building improvements or capital projects that involve our stations. We don't budget for that. However, In fact, I believe it's in the budget now where there is a line item under building for the fire station roof. And I know that right now, DPW is working on going out to bid for that project and preparing that bid. So we work with the building department under DPW with any issues that that come up that we identify that need to be done. We have had some issues in the past, electrical issues, things of that nature, that again, DPW went out to bid for. Replacement of the generator at Station 4 is one of them. A lot of electrical work was done at Station 2. One thing that we have done is a grant became available to us that we've applied for. We don't know if we're going to receive it or not, but we did submit a grant proposal through one of the congressionally direct spending grants for fire station improvements and maintenance. I don't know what the timeline is on that to when we'll find out if we're successful or not, but we're hoping to get awarded the grant or at least a portion of what we put in for.
Just one follow-up. Obviously, we're reactive, and last meeting, we were talking with DPW about being proactive with the roads. As far as the fire stations and fire equipment, I know there's a capital budget out there somewhere. What type of plans do you have placed to keep our equipment and, you know, identify future issues with the stations so we don't get always caught behind the eight ball?
So are you asking about the facilities mainly, the fire stations themselves, or both? So as far as the facilities go, we have weekly meetings with the captains. So each station, each company has a captain assigned to it. And that is the place where they bring issues to us. And certainly, you can, as you can imagine, like anything else, they run a vast, you know, spectrum. Sometimes it might just be simply getting paint or something to, you know, beautify the station, clean it up, make it look nice. And for that, we have accounts with Lowe's and that we can okay them to get anything more serious, like a leaky roof, we would have to work with DPW and bring that to the attention of the administration to satisfy that. As far as our apparatus go, so DPW handles all of our maintenance and repairs that they're able to handle. And what I mean by that is there are certain repairs that they may not be certified to handle. Hydraulics on a ladder truck, for instance, they would send that out. And whether or not they send a vehicle out to a private vendor or not is up to them. It depends on what their workload is and whether or not, and what the nature of the repair is and what the status of our fleet was. At one time, we didn't have any reserve apparatus. So if we had a frontline truck down and, you know, at one time, there was a lot of our frontline trucks down and a lot of the DPW trucks down. There was only so much room to fix these trucks, so they may have needed to send those out more often. Because of the apparatus replacements that we've done, that's really not the case anymore. They're able to handle it in-house. We also have contracts with vendors that we bring in to perform pump maintenance. So the pumps, of course, have to be inspected annually. Before we do that, we bring in a maintenance company to go through it and replace bushings, things of that nature, identify any major issues to us that could cause the pump to fail when it is tested to try to alleviate that from happening. And the same thing with our ladder trucks. We'll do the same thing. We have to have those tested annually as well. So we'll have a company come in and perform maintenance on those trucks as well. To get them ready for their inspection, if you will, so we have less problems. And of course, they need to be maintained anyway. Preventive maintenance on these trucks goes a long way and really will prolong the life of them.
Thank you. Chief, just a quick question about the new recruit class. So they graduate, all 12 of them go through. If there's no position on the Warwick Fire Department at that time for them, do we still own them, or do we just use that as a list for hiring?
So we would have the ability to use them as a list if we wanted to. What we try to do is calculate that number of what we're going to bring in and what we're going to train to be as accurate as possible, so that we don't go over those Florida positions, so that we have 8 Florida positions altogether. We calculated the best we can so we don't go over that, so that we won't have an extra person and we don't have to lay that person off. Because the danger of that is if we do so, we'd be concerned about somebody else grabbing them, as we see happening throughout the state, and especially with the police departments. I know that that's a big problem for them right now, where they get picked before they even graduate their academy by another municipality.
Chief, that's a good segue into the questions I had for you. Relative to attrition, you said you plan for losing 12 guys a year. Is that for, I mean, it can't be just for retirements. I'm assuming that's transfers out of the department, retirees, injuries. What is that 12, kind of 12 a year turnover, or 12 every 6 month turnover look like?
So we won't always get 12 a year. We may only get 6 or 8. It's, it really fluctuates. And as Chief Omenhauer was saying, it's impossible for us to predict. It's really an estimation. When we see people leave, it's typically through retirement or an injury causes them to retire early. I'm trying to think when we had the last person leave to go to another department. We had a spat there when Providence was doing lateral transfers. They really haven't done that in a while, and I don't really see that affecting us in the near future, at least not in this fiscal year.
If you ran an internal academy, would that cut down on department-to-department transfers, would be able to cherry-pick out of the academy to other cities and towns?
So there's a lot of misconceptions out there about training and this topic. And running your own training without involving the state is impossible in today's day and age, because the state training academy is the only authorized agency in the state to certify firefighters to the training levels that we certify them to, the basic certifications that they get. We cannot run our own in-house training program and certify them to the NFPA, the National Fire Protection Agency standard, on our own. We're not authorized to. The Rhode Island Fire Academy is the only academy that does. Even City of Providence, which has for years run their own academy, is now, they still run it somewhat on their own, but the testing all takes place at the Rhode Island Municipal Fire Academy. So they've started to gravitate towards it more so than they used to. We're required to train our firefighters to a specific standard. That standard is the same throughout the state. Once they achieve that certification, they could really work anywhere in the state, whether it be Providence, Cranston, Warwick, that's trained to the same certification. The only place to get that certification is through the state fire academy. We send them to the state academy, and right now we get them back. After that, they come back for about 5 weeks with us. And we've also increased that on some occasions to 6 and 7 weeks. It really depends on what our training division identifies as needs that they want to accomplish. And we have had them come to us and say, you know, I need this class for one more week. And we authorize that. And we do so with the union as well. Keep them in the loop of what's going on. I'm a big believer in open communication with them so that no one gets blindsided. I know that there's been some members that have expressed an interest in doing our own training in-house again. it's not as easy as they make it sound to be because of that certification process that we need. And the State Fire Academy has really come so far, and there's a massive construction project going on down there right now, and it's so close to us, we can't provide the training that they can provide at that one site, and they come out of there with five certifications. We wouldn't be able to do that in-house in the time frame that they do it in.
So the $80,000 that you have budgeted here, that would account for sending 12 recruits through state and whatever costs you would incur at the local level to complete their training and put them through the local, your local training department here in the city.
That's right.
Okay. And then next year, you had mentioned you might run two classes. So this would only account for one class. So that cost would.
This accounts for one class. Yes.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Any members of the public have anything for fire? Seeing none, we move on to.
Thank you, Council President. Michelle Comar, Ward 1. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi. Looking at the salaries line, and I'll just say $21 million for a rough number. It doesn't seem to equate with the personnel fund, which is $25 million. Am I missing some line items to get to 25?
What's the line item you're looking at? Which line item number?
Okay, I'm looking at, I don't know how you, well, if you go to the personnel fund, it's on page 23, the total in salaries is $25,790,289. I just can't get the number out of the budget.
So to answer your question, the number that you're seeing with the $21 million is just salaries. The personnel supplement, the bottom line, $25 million you're seeing, includes the overtime and the temporary services. So you get $4.7 million in overtime that's also included.
Okay.
So it's not just the salary line, it's salaries altogether.
So the way you figure out the $25,790,000, which is in the personnel supplement, is including overtime plus salaries?
Correct. The second to last line in the personnel supplement is the overtime line. It's at $4.7 million. That's the difference you're seeing.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
The second to last line on the personnel supplement is the overtime at 4.7. That's the difference that you're seeing between the 21 and the 25. Okay.
Okay. I can see that now. All right. So your department, I may be wrong, but it looks like your department has the most salary increases. Is that by union contract or approved city contract?
Yes. Any increases are contractual.
Okay. And when was that contract approved?
This contract was approved in July of 24? 25?
The current contract we have was approved in the fall of 2025. So it exceeded the expiration of the previous contract. So the raises, the salary raises that you're seeing in this contract are actually fiscal year's worth of raises, because we budgeted no raises for the current fiscal year we're in, 2026, because there was no contract in place.
Okay, so.
And so this year we're reflecting this current fiscal year's raises and then 2027 on top of it. So you're talking about 9% increase in raises.
Okay,
in salaries.
Thank you. And let's see, my last question. Oh, so as far as pension contributions, which I don't know if it's in this line item or another budget, is there a freeze? There was a freeze at one time for fire contributions. I don't know, was fire one or two, and I may be going back a few years. Is there a freeze now of employee contributions?
I've been here 27 and a half years, so I've never seen a freeze in our pension contributions.
Okay.
And
unless I'm mistaken, I think that's a different part of the budget as
well.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions for fire? All right, seeing none, we move on to emergency management.
So reduce
we reduce that.
Councilman Lattiser.
You said emergency management, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Chief, I'll go back to that question. You had indicated that the stipend for yourself and the deputy chief were in emergency management. Where would we find that?
Councilman, that's 34140 temporary services. The figure is $10,400. So the fire chief also fulfills the role of emergency management director. That role has mostly been with the fire department. There was a period of time it was with the police department, where the police chief served as the EMA director and received that stipend. What I have done is taken that stipend and I split it between myself and Chief Ubbenhauer, because Chief Ubbenhauer does a tremendous amount of work, EMA work as well. And a lot of that work involves in-house, it involves what we've done with our emergency operations center, as well as our fire alarm dispatching area, replacing all of the technology and actually moving the fire alarm site from Sandy Lane to Station 10 in Pottawamet. And then the purpose behind the stipend is for the there is no full-time there's no full-time EMA director or part-time EMA director or anything of that nature here in Warwick. It's a dual role that we assume. And so coming in for storms and planning for the big blizzard we had this past year and managing that from our emergency operations center, Chief Ubbenhauer spent the night in the emergency operations center, keeping that up and running. When we have a storm like that, working with our state partners through REMA, there's a lot of software involved that we utilize, and that's how we notify REMA of what the needs are at the local level and what's happening at the local level. That's predetermined through the state. It's sort of an unfunded mandate, if you will, that we have to follow. And so that's what's behind that $10,400 line item.
So it's $5,200 each?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that goes through the payroll system?
Yes.
So FICA, FUTA, all that stuff is all deducted out of that. So instead, why is this listing it as temporary services, which is not even close to descriptive of what it is? This is actually a salary for two city employees. So why is it listed under temporary services?
To be honest with you, it's always been listed as such. And that could go from, like I said earlier, it could be transferred back to the police department or things of that nature. I'm assuming that's where the word temporary came from. Whoever's wearing the EMA hat, if you will, whoever's assuming that role and fulfilling those duties.
I just think that it should have a more accurate definition of where $10,400 is going for. Temporary services. We've heard a lot of testimony this evening about temporary services. And it's not just here. It was in other departments where this is now all of a sudden it's become aware to me that this isn't temporary services. This is salaries. So I just think that, not just you guys, but in other departments, something like that, it needs to be more transparent and it needs to be listed for what it is. So I would certainly suggest that going forward, those type of things are changed so that it is transparent. And we know what the stipend is and the explanation is there. Whether people want to accept it or not, that's something else, but at least it's there. For me, what's frustrating is having to, you know, deal with all the shell games and, you know, where is this and what is that and where does this belong? So that's it. That's all I got to say on that, Chief. Thank you for putting that on the record.
Anyone else have anything for emergency management? Any members of the public wish to speak on emergency management? All right, seeing none, we next move on to fire grants. Does anyone have anything for fire grants? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So, Chief, this is coming from a different direction. I have to give you guys kudos on the grants that the fire department pulls in for this city. I know that over the years, we're talking some serious amounts of money, and I just want to let you know that it is appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Any members of the public have anything for fire grants? All right, seeing none, we move on to building inspection.
Good evening, Al Decourt, Director of Code Enforcement. Let's see. So, as you can see, the increases are with contract. We have 10 employees with longevity increases, one with a step two increase. Sorry, I was trying to talk out of the side of my mouth. I lost my train of thought. So we have the 10 employees with longevity increases, one with a step increase, and no longevity, and some minor increases with gasoline and maintenance on for the vehicles.
Does anyone have any questions for building inspection? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Director, I have a question on plumbing mechanical construction inspector. That item, that's code number 083. That is showing a significant increase this year from what was approved last year of $64,481 to this year of $78,996. Can you speak to that?
Sure. So that's the plumbing mechanical inspector that had the step went from step two to step three in January.
It went a step two to a step three?
Yes.
Mid-year?
Sorry?
Mid-year?
Yes. That's under the contract.
So the budget was approved for $64,481, and then a step increase kicked in at some point during fiscal year 2026, which brought it up to I have that number, but I'm just going to take it from memory, something like 76,000, I think it was.
The step increase was about 35 change per hour, bumped up to around 42.
Yeah, I think it came up to about 12,000. Yeah. So I think this question is going to be more for personnel than you. I'm sorry, finance, and maybe it is personnel. The question is, why was a budget approved for 64,000 change and did not include the step increase which occurred during this fiscal year? And keep in mind, we just heard from two other departments who said that the reason their increase was more was because it included step increases for this upcoming fiscal year. So why wasn't that budgeted in 2026 fiscal year?
I'm not sure why it wouldn't have been budgeted in 26. I do know that this employee is part of the bargaining unit and he or she goes through the step process. I don't know the history of this position exactly, but it's also possible that they've reached a longevity marker. I'd have to do more research to actually find that out.
Well, I think that there should be a way to find it out, because two other departments just spoke about it earlier, that they were increasing their line item because of a step increase that was contractual and included this year. So I would expect personnel would be aware of this. Somebody should be aware of it, because what's occurred is we passed a budget that was $12,000 short, because we had no idea about it.
You know, the building inspection department, you know, suffers from a lot of vacancies. So I think that this position may have been vacant last year, which might have been part of the problem as well. And maybe an internal person, usually what happens, it gets confusing when an internal person comes in, because they come in with longevity and different step. But in the bargaining unit, it's all set by contract. There's a schedule and the whole back of it that would tie out to this.
Well, either way, I'm not going to waste everybody's time to try and find it in all of this stuff. There needs to be a process that when we pass a budget, we are comfortable with the numbers that are provided to us. And when there's a step increase, that just happens to be one that would happen to be picked up on. And I don't know if there's others. So it seems to me that there needs to be some sort of check and balances on these things to be sure that we're passing a budget that is accurate. So this increase is not the significant increase that it appears, because it's actually going from $76,000 last year to $78,996 this year. Is that correct, Director? Yeah. Okay, and the other question I have is building coordinator specialist. It's a new code, it's 429A, and that appears to have a 14% increase. So twofold question, what's the reason for the A, and is the 14% increase something above contractual?
So as you are aware, there are a number of employees who have to contribute to our OPEB trust as a deduction off their check. If you are a member of the bargaining unit, you must contribute full stop. If you are not, if you qualify for a post-employment benefit, you must contribute, but if you do not, you do not contribute. Part of this is some get a 9% raise, some get the 2.4 in January. Now, to differentiate that, as we move along, when people move departments, we actually have to make an A so we can keep those straight, so that we don't give somebody the 0.9% raise who does not qualify for it because they're not contributing to the OPEB trust. So you'll sometimes see an A pop up. In our system, it's actually an O, but.
Okay, so the A designation isn't, it's not providing a increase in salary because of the A designation. The 14% increase over the previous year is because of contractual.
It's my understanding that that employee was actually an internal transfer. So they may have brought over longevity, or they're a longtime employee. So they probably brought longevity to a position that was vacant.
Okay, this is a building coordinator specialist. And it went from $65,696 in 2026 to $75,194. This year, and that's a 14.45%. And is that because of contractual step increases, longevity?
The finance director is correct in her analogy. It was an internal move, two internal moves. The gentleman who owned, who had that position, moved up to construction inspector. The person who took the the non-union job was a union employee for over 10 years, so he brought all his longevity with him. That's why the salary's high.
Okay. And I assume, well, I think you've pretty much addressed it. You've already stated that none of the increases in salaries are beyond contractual.
That's correct.
Okay, that's the issue I had, where there was that $12,000 difference from what we approved and what actually took place, because somewhere along the line, that longevity thing just didn't get in the budget. Thank you, Director. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Director, just questions on two different line items. 36140, temporary services. That line item sort of seems all over the map historically over the last few years, and we're way over that budget this year for whatever reason, and you're doubling your request from last year to next, well, from this current fiscal year to next. Can you just run me through that line item to make it make sense?
Sure. We've had a lot of movement in our department through retirements and people just up and leaving and finding new jobs. So we've had to use temporary services a lot this year and over the past years.
Are you filling needs of the department through like supplemental personnel temporary services? Is that?
Yes. Okay. So we had a permit tech left. We had to bring in temporary service to help out. That's one of the most important jobs, because they answer the phone, they schedule inspections and such.
Okay. And then just one other one that sort of just raised an eyebrow for me. 36337, your steno and court reporter services. You're increasing about 30% on that. Are we anticipating extra litigation this year?
Well, the contract runs out in June, so we don't know if she's going to increase her fees for the stenographer, the zoning board.
Got it. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Director, just a more of a operational type questions for you. One, your department is funded by fees and not taxpayer dollars. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And the current collection of fees, are they covering your budget?
Yes.
Are there any excess in fees?
Are there any excess in fees?
Yes.
This past year, yes.
Okay. With the demand on your department, is there an opportunity for you, one, for the demand, but two, to prevent or to hedge against some of your retirements in your potential departments? Go ahead. Okay. So. We hear you. It's tough. So is this a better volume? Okay. So you answered my question that your department is funded by the fees. You have some excess in fees that are being collected because of the demand on your department. You've used a lot of consulting services. Do you have a vision for ramping up your department to cover the demand as well as balance against the fees you're collecting?
I think our staffing level right now is adequate. This past year we've had a boom year with all the large projects, so we collected a lot of fees. So there's a little bit of a tail going on with construction. So we'll see a little lag for a little bit, but we were just shy of issuing 11,000 permits this past year. So normal average is around 8,000 to 9,000 per year. So plus we collect receivership funds, building without permit penalties, and vacant property fees in conjunction with building permit fees.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Any members of the public have anything for building inspection? All right, so that brings us to Parks and Recreation.
Hello, Holly Weber, Parks and Recreation. We have contractual increases, one longevity, and they were an added a part-time aid position.
All right, does anyone have any questions for Parks and Recreation? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in your budget, you actually have an error, I believe, in the personnel supplement. As I add up these numbers, actually, I can't even take the credit for adding up the numbers because, to be honest with you, this is something that was pointed out to me by Mr. Cushman in reviewing some of these documents. Your budget, your personnel supplement on page 26 shows a total of $1,056,410. When I add up those numbers actually come out to $1,006,410. So it appears as though there is a $50,000 math error in that particular supplement. Do we agree?
Bill Pacente, Chief Staff, I'm going to have to add up those numbers if you just give me a minute to add those up.
Sure.
So we can make sure we have the right numbers.
I said this years ago, Councilman Lattiser.
I'm sorry?
I said this to you years ago. Are you sitting down? Because you're right.
Could you repeat that, please?
You're right. Loud into the mic.
I think
there's
something wrong. I'm not done working
and,
yet, Director.
And you know why? It's because I cut her budget $50,000 at the last minute. I cut the seasonal salaries exactly $50,000.
Okay, duly noted. I will take the appropriate action on Thursday.
So which line item was it?
45-101, salaries, municipal, and parks and recs.
Too high or too low?
Reduced.
But Councilman Lattiser, the problem is the personnel supplement is too high. I think the budget's correct.
I think the error comes in 45-119 because that still reflects 450,000 for a seasonal.
The error comes in where?
The seasonal line item 45-119. You cut that down to 400,000. Is that correct, Director?
No, the personnel supplement has the 450. The formula in the personnel supplement didn't pick up that $50,000. So the budget should be correct and the supplement is wrong.
What are you talking about? I'm looking at the personnel supplement on page 26.
Mm-hmm.
It's got seasonal 450,000.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
and
on.
The total amount in that item is $1,056,410. Those numbers that are in that document add up to $1,006,410. So
correct.
Where are you saying the 50,000
is? If you take line 45-101.
45-101.
45-106. 45-119.
Wait a minute. 45.
Just those top three lines.
45-106. Who's adding it? Because I'm not. And 45-119-450.
That's 1,006,410.
That so, adds up to 1,006,000.
So the math in the budget is correct.
Okay, so let's go back to the personnel supplement. Where is the $50,000 error?
Yeah, it's just the total amount's wrong.
Okay, so it's the bottom number, 1,056. That's a typo. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
And it should be 1,006,410. Just bear with me 1 second. I just need to add these numbers up myself.
Director, while the chairman is adding up numbers, can I just ask a question to the director? Why are we so high on seasonal employees? There was a significant increase there.
Minimum wage expenses have gone up quite a bit, and it depends year to year, like weather-wise, how many we use, if we don't cancel. So what we used last year might be different from what we use this year. Lifeguard rates have gone up as well to stay competitive.
Did you finish your math?
Councilman Knapp, are you all set?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so yeah, those numbers, I agree, they add up to 1,006,410. So that brings me back to the same thing you've heard me say time and time again. Who double checks these things? How is it that something comes to us with this type of an error, whether it be a typo or not? I mean, to me, there's either no systems in place at all for double checking these type of things. And again, Director, it's not singled to you. This is happens periodically in all departments. So don't take it as though I'm singling you out on it. I'm not. There definitely needs to be a better check and balances in place on these things. That's all. I'm all set on that right now. Thank you.
Does anyone have anything else for Parks and Recreation? Does any member of the public wish to speak on Parks and Recreation? Seeing none, we move on to the Ward Public Library.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. Aaron Kutu, Director of the Library. Just to sort of go over the quick questions relating to staffing, I have 52 staff members. Currently, there are two vacancies, one full-time circ assistant and one part-time 10-hour circ assistant. All increases in salaries are contractual that have been discussed earlier. I have 13 people that will see step increases, and I have three people that will be sliding into longevity, which will bring the total from 10 this year to 13 next year.
Does anyone have anything for the Ward Public Libraries? Councilman Lattiser.
So your increase in your salary item for this year is about roughly $330,000. That over your projection for this year. Why is your projection $300,000 less than the approved budget for last year?
Challenges,
this current year?
You're asking about why our amount is lower this year, am I understanding you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a twofold question.
Yep.
So you're $300,000 less than your approved budget for this year, and you're asking for roughly $340,000 more this year than your projected budget year end.
Yes. One of the challenges we faced this year is at one point we had a long period where we were down 9 staff people. So you'll notice our overtime is significantly higher than what was projected for the current year. That was largely because in order to keep the branches and the central library open, we needed to hire full-time so we would have enough staff on Sundays, on Saturdays, for example. So we had to wait through the process in order for those positions to be filled. And we're actually still seeing some of the fallout. One of our current positions that's opened is through basically kind of a Plinko effect of where you have an opening, you promote somebody, and then you have to fill their position, and then you promote somebody. So you basically have a hole for almost a year in some of these, in some of our situations.
So, Director, when I look at your personnel supplement for this current year, mm-hmm. you had 52 positions. Mm-hmm. And for this year, you have 52 positions budgeted.
Correct.
In both.
Correct.
So I thought you just said that in the past you've had less people.
We had vacancies that were unfilled positions. So if someone leaves, retires, it takes time to fill the position. So for example, we just filled a position in April that opened last May. We, like every other department, have to take our turn when it comes time to filling those positions, and sometimes it takes longer to get there, but we still have to budget as if the position is full in case we're lucky enough to get it filled faster, which would be preferable, but we don't have a control over that timeline.
Okay. All right, so what you're saying is it's not that you had budgeted for less people, you just had less people on the payroll.
Correct.
For whatever reasons, and that's why you're coming in less than your budget the previous year.
Yes.
So now you want to bring it back up to actually 100,000 more than last year, and I'm assuming that's all through contractual increases?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And your electricity item, you are budgeted for this year at 126,000, and you are here it is. Your projection is for 131,000. So what's the reason for the additional 44,000?
That's under the guidance of the finance department. I believe it's another case referring back to what Director Prodger had indicated with the credits going away and our having to fully pay for our electricity. And that's the jump.
Okay. That
basically, they actually originally, when we met, we had a figure that was a little more closely tied to projection, and they've increased it slightly even more, I'm assuming because they believe it will be more for next year.
Okay, so let me look at something here. Okay, right now, out of a revised budget of 126,000, as of today, you've only spent 46,000.
I'm sorry, which line item were you speaking of?
It's your line item 43224, electricity. Mm-hmm. Your budget for this year is 126,000. As of today, you've expended roughly 46,000, no encumbrances, showing a balance of approximately 80,000.
Sure. There are two portions to the answer for that. One is, again, sort of we're working off of the recommendation of the finance department. Secondly, the library, because of the way our budgeting works due to state law, we don't have encumbrances built into munis in the same way as other municipal departments.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the fiscal year, whatever happens to be left over in these line items that you propose or presented to you, such as electricity, mm-hmm. Whatever's left over goes into the general fund, right? Goes back into the general fund.
Optimally, in order to preserve our state funding, the grant and aid program from the Office of Library and Information Services, we would expend what we're provided with, because our funding from them in the 2 years that will follow will be based on this figure. According to the law, we're supposed to get 25% of that back as our state funding. And we have to always be careful that they look at what was budgeted to us and then what we actually expended. They take the lower amount, and we really have to do everything in our power to make sure that we at least achieve a level of funding from the year prior in order to still qualify for our grant and aid.
Do you have an electric meter at the library?
We do at all four of our structures.
You have an electric meter at the library?
Yes.
Right. So does the, and this could be a question for finance, does the city receive itemized electric bills, such as for the library? Library has its own meter.
Yes, we receive four separate bills, one for each of our structures. And those are actually shared with the city, but up until now have been paid for with credits. And we will be reverting back to the prior payment process in which we have to pay directly for our electricity. So they would see the measurements that are on each of our bills when they're submitted for payment.
And do you know if your budget is proposed based upon the actual usage and costs of electricity for your locations?
That I would have to refer, because they're the ones who provide the estimate, the finance
department. Okay. So that is a question for finance.